my name is Katie Leeson and I'm Managing Director of Social Chain UK. Welcome back to another episode of I Shouldn't Say This But. And I wanted to do something a little bit different this week. For anyone who's been listening to previous old episodes, and I know I keep getting messages of people who are going through the old back catalogue, I used to be very, very open about my own personal life. And I kind of stopped that a little bit after going through a couple of episodes, which you'll have spotted midway through and the reasons why I stopped talking about them. But we've all been on an absolute roller coaster over the past year. And I know it's been difficult for so many of you, but I feel like we've all learned a lot about ourselves and the world in the process. So I wanted to talk to you about some of the ups and downs I've been on over the past year, or to almost a year ago to the day since the very first lockdown began. Everything from coping with living on my own to hugging my mum for the first time, which makes me tear up whenever I think about it. From lockdown relationships to navigating a business through this absolutely roller coaster of a year, to deciding my own pace for coming back out into the world. Also, I wanted to touch on what happens now. Things are looking like they'll start to head back to a life that we're a bit more familiar with, but how are we going to cope with all the changes that are set for the coming weeks? I'll also be talking to our podcast therapist, Karen, and she'll be giving some advice to all those people who I am sure will be feeling a little bit nervous and anxious about heading back out there. So it's time to sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of I Shouldn't Say This But. This episode is going to be really enlightening for myself because I have very much ran into the last 12 months in protection mode, not only for myself, but also for Social Chain and for my family, and taking a step back to really think about it. I don't know what's going to come out when I really consider what I'm going to say. And it's interesting timing. And I was talking to the guys this morning that actually this weekend is the first weekend in probably 2 years, maybe longer, that I had a migraine on Saturday. And the migraines come when I have done too much and I've not looked after myself. So it's interesting to start looking at this and reflecting back on what has been one of the strangest 12 months we will ever hopefully experience. I'm going to talk a little bit first about coronavirus and then about my experience and how my relationships have fared, and then talk about the future. And I've also got Karen on again, so she's going to help as she always does. So I've been asked to describe the last year in one word, and that word would be roller coaster. I think there's been some incredible highs and some really low lows, and also everything in between, all the anxiety that it's brought, the pushing and pulling of feeling like you were enjoying that slowdown of life, but also the feeling that you needed to try and protect everyone that you knew, and you'd feel responsible if anyone got poorly, if you had it. So looking back at when COVID struck, how I felt as myself, it's really bizarre because it feels like forever ago. And I don't know if everyone else feels like this, but the last 12 months have been the slowest, but also the longest 12 months of my life. My brother actually got married 2 days before lockdown, and the wedding was meant to be 120 people. We were meant to all have this really big party in this gorgeous old hall. And in the run-up to actually the wedding day, it was, is the wedding going to happen? How many people can go? People were dropping out because they didn't want to come. They were worried about catching it. And we ended up having the wedding and it was about 20 people. And it was just the most lovely day because the room was just full of love. And I was amazed that we managed to do it. And it'll be forever for me a very special day. But then after that, personally, it was a lot of fear. I remember just feeling a real weight of responsibility for looking after and making sure that my parents didn't get poorly. And I've spoken to a lot of my friends about this, about if you've seen your parents, you fear that you've got for like 10 days after that they might catch COVID if you've not got symptoms and you've got it. And that for me has been a trigger for the last 12 months, is feeling like I might be passing something on that could really impact my parents' health. And my mum actually was part of a COVID trial, and she has now had both injections. So spoke to her, she made the decision that she wanted to hug me. And that feeling that I got, I don't think I've ever felt anything like it. We had a hug, it was the other week, and the raw emotion that came out from just having a hug with my mum is the strangest but most wonderful feeling. And I can't wait for everyone else to experience it. But I just sobbed. There was no stopping it. Both of us just cried. And I've seen my mum. It's not like I've not seen her, but I haven't been able to hug her. And just being able to actually touch it makes me feel a little bit emotional now. It's the strangest thing. And I think personally, I have really just battled through with trying to be as optimistic as I can and deal with what's in front of me. But the reality actually of what it's taken out of me as a person has been a lot bigger than I've realised. And then the flip side of that, of also trying to be an MD of a business that needed protecting as well, I went into battle mode, and it wasn't fun trying to figure out new things like furlough and making sure the team were all right, asking them to do things I would never usually ask them to do, putting in measures in the office, asking them to work from home was just possibly the worst time to be a leader ever. And dealing with everyone's emotions at that point, it wasn't just about dealing with their work, it was also about dealing with the fact that they were going through with what the hell was going on, and they were worried about their family. And being a leader has been incredibly difficult. The first few thoughts that went through my mind way back when, a year ago, was, oh, it'll be all right, we'll be off for a little bit. We actually closed the office earlier than the national lockdown because we could see that it was starting to get a little bit more serious, and being the business that we are, we could shut down. So we thought, right, we'll close it. It'll be a few weeks. This will all go away. It'll be fine. Because they had people contained in hotels and it wasn't spreading out, or as far as we knew. And so I just thought, oh, I think like everyone else, we'll be done in a couple of months and it'll be okay. But the reality of that, as months rolled on and we went further and further into it, we really, as a business, had to figure out what our next steps were and how we were going to really transform into a company that was successful at working from home. And then on a personal level, how I was going to navigate the fact that my living circumstances, I was living on my own. I bought my house coming up to 3 years ago. I've lived on my own in this house, bought it on my own, very proud of myself for that. But then when this hit, it's an incredibly isolating experience, especially when we were only allowed to go out for an hour of exercise, not knowing whether you were going to get in trouble, being part of finding your groove when it came to knowing that you're okay on your own, but also when you needed to see people. And then when they introduced the bubble was probably one of the best points for me. But it's hard, isn't it? Because you don't want to complain. And I don't know if anyone else feels this while they're listening. You don't want to complain because you know other people have got it worse than you. But actually, in reality, what we have been through is probably one of the hardest things we will ever go through as human beings. So being kind to yourself about what you've actually been through, which is what I've not done, is very, very important. I'm trying to think back of how I really approached lockdown one. From March onwards last year. One thing I really remember is how much I absolutely loved the weather, and I made sure I had a great tan last summer. And that for me was great. I loved it. I had a perfect tan. Spent a lot of time in my garden. I did a lot of house jobs, and I spent that time where I couldn't go anywhere else making sure that they were all done. I think everyone probably did the same. And really just enjoying being in my house. I always joke that the run-up to lockdown, I'd been here, there and everywhere. I'd been to London pretty much once a week. I'd been to Berlin, I'd been to Munich, I'd been to Amsterdam. There was lots of things that I had to do with work. And what I was craving was just a little bit of time at home. Little did I know that actually it was going to be a lot of time at home where I couldn't get out. But I used the time to get my life admin in order, sort myself out, do house things, sort a space out of an office to work in, and really try and keep the emotion of the team up as much as we could. It was tiring and stressful, but we managed it and I got a great tan out of it. So that was definitely a benefit. And I found a real joy in audiobooks. I know I posted that on my Instagram on World Book Day. Just instead of being sat in front of the TV all the time, which would have been quite easy to do, I decided to start listening to audiobooks and I found a real passion in that. So again, it goes back to that thing where you feel like you shouldn't complain because you've managed to get stuff out of the last 12 months. But in the reality, living on your own is incredibly difficult. And not seeing anyone, there've been moments where I'd realise I've not been out of the house in 3 days, and that is a weird feeling. But then actually motivating yourself to do it. I saw a great meme with an eagle who was walking that says me going on my daily walk just to feel something. And that's exactly what I did. I went out every day for my daily walk just so I could actually have something to do. 9 times out of 10, I'd go and buy cookies or a cake because I didn't like walking without a purpose. I took up running, tried to do couch to 5K, but I really just tried my best to keep on top of things. One of the things like living on my own though that I really did struggle with, yes, I was lonely, but with work I was on Zoom calls or FaceTime or whatever else all day every day. So when it came to the weekend, the last thing I wanted to do was get on a Zoom quiz with anybody. And that sounds awful and really like I don't want to cultivate my friendships, but I was just so tired of doing Zoom for work. So gave up on Zoom quizzes quite quickly. It's interesting as well when you're on your own so long what it does to your relationships. I'm a very sociable being and I've got loads of different groups of friends, and I think it took a long time to really nut out a groove of a way of speaking to people and really becoming a bit more understanding of everyone else's situation. So as I say, very, very emotionally charged around my family, massive feeling of guilt, really isolated myself from them for a long time because I really didn't want them to feel like I could pass something to them and then vice versa. I didn't want myself to feel like I could be carrying something and they catch it. So I spent a lot of time away from my parents until it got to the point where I was just like, I can't be on my own anymore. I really can't. So I'd go and sit in their garden in the summer and just have a bit of time with my mum and dad, which was lovely. And then, as I say, most recently, I've managed to hug my mum, which is just the most incredible feeling in the world. And then with friends, it's a strange one with everybody's different ways of interpreting and dealing with and coping. We've all had different things to face. And one thing I've had to tell myself a lot over the last 12 months is everybody's dealing with things differently and not to judge people based on their reactions right now. So being on my own, living on my own has meant that I have a bubble, I can see other people, and that has helped my sanity, which sometimes might have looked like I was bending the rules to suit myself, but I was always working within the boundaries of what was there. I haven't been to a supermarket properly in the last 12 months. I do all my shopping online, click and collect, and there's a reason for that. I'm very selective with who I see, because I know that where those people have been. But I do know that there's been some sort of judgments around where I spent my time and whether I'm a rebel or a rule breaker. And I found that hard. I found that really tough because I'm trying my best to keep everything together. But in reality, it's not easy, whichever way you look at it. So I think relationships with friends, as I say, it was tough to try and get everyone together, especially when I'm so Zoom fatigued. Other people who've been working, other people who haven't been working, there's definitely been tensions that I don't think have ever been present in friendship groups that I've noticed across different people that I've spoken to. Different people have interpreted the rules and knowing what's best for themselves differently. And that has created all sorts of different tensions between friendship groups and a really different understanding of how friends should behave. I am so cautious of the way different people feel about what's gone on in the last 12 months, and I've tried my best to be sympathetic towards that whilst not taking it personally if it feels like someone has judged me for the way I've behaved. But there's been times when it's been tough. And I've had friends who've set up businesses. You've heard the Feel Good Club girls and their struggles, and not being able to see them and support them I found incredibly difficult. But also I've got friends who live around the corner, so making sure that we can go out for a walk. Just, it's just been finding your groove with your friendships to keep them going. But I did see an amazing post on Instagram today that just sums up friendship in lockdown. So I'm going to read it out to you because it really made me chuckle. This post says, someone said friendships in the pandemic is basically just one person sending a text when they're in a good mood and you're not. And then you finally responding when you're in a good mood and now they're not. And I thought that was brilliant. Absolutely sums up way we've all felt. Sometimes you'll get messages from people you just think, I don't want to speak to anyone today. And then other times you'll feel like you need to reach out to them. So that really made me chuckle. The other interesting thing that I found fascinating, because I'm really interested in people and the way they behave, is actual like romantic relationships in lockdown and the way that different relationships have changed over the last 12 months. I started seeing my boyfriend at the back end of 2019. We went to school together, so we've got a lot in common anyway, and a lot of stories and history. We didn't move in together in lockdown. We made the decision to stay where we were, and we try and see each other every now and again. And it's such a strange way of starting a relationship at the age of 36, 37, because you start... you feel like a teenager again. You're like stealing moments, going for walks. He's currently living with his parents, so he's got to go back home to his mum and dad, and you feel like you're about 17 again. Well, you've got to work within the boundaries of everyone else's emotions. But for someone who has traditionally moved very quickly in relationships, this could be the best thing that's ever happened to me. Whereas I know that other people have started relationships around the same sort of time and moved in straight away as lockdown happened. And they've gone from 0 to 100 in terms of you've missed all that sort of like going on holiday for the first time, going on dates because you can't go anywhere, doing that to go into doing DIY with... with your other half and buying fridge freezers. So you've gone from like new couple to old married couple in the space of 12 months. And that's tough as well. It's been really interesting to watch the dynamics of relationships and friendships. And I think my friendship circle has probably reduced to a lot more of quality over quantity. And that speaks volumes. I don't know if everyone else has been like that, but you've really focused on the relationships you want to cultivate rather than trying to please everyone all the time. Everything's going very well, actually. I'd just like to say, for anyone who is interested in my relationship, very happy. Things are going well. Hopefully this year is the year that we can start to actually move into an adult relationship rather than a teenage one. We shall see. Everyone keep their fingers crossed. But for once, Katie has not rushed into something and is not making a complete mess of it. So hallelujah. I'm going to talk now about, that's my own personal life. I'm going to talk a little bit about the company side of it and the business side of it. The first adjustment was very much like we all went into the pandemic like a bull in a china shop. I think everyone was in protection mode and it was like, what can I do now? How can I deal with this change? I can deal with this change by doing what I know and throwing myself into work. Everyone had this real momentum behind them of trying to do the best they could with what they had. We, as I say, we moved into working from home very early on. And the reason for that was because we could see as a leadership team that people were starting to become more nervous. I obviously worried about people working from home when part of your business is being done through productions and outdoor productions and in studio productions. That was one of my main concerns, as well as everyone's mental health. And knowing that we've got a very young team who live in flats or live with their parents and they're going to be confined to a very small space whilst working from home. So for me, that was always in the back of my mind. But we put a lot in place and we did a lot in the beginning to make sure that people had the support system that they needed. Main challenges that I faced as we went along, I mean, last year was a year of change anyway. So having not only the pandemic clients changing the way they worked. We have amazing clients, so it was fine. They understood and they worked with us. But then also trying to navigate how we work from home and keep a culture going and keep communication alive, whilst also having your founders leave the business and trying to deal with that at the same time. It was a very tricky 12 months and a lot of change for a lot of people at Social Chain. And what I noticed over that time is, yes, we have lost a few staff members and there's been quite a turnover in terms of staff. I don't take that personally. I think previously, 12 months ago, I would have been like, it's my fault. I've done something wrong. I'm not being a good enough MD. But actually looking at everyone's situation, how they've personally interpreted it, the pandemic and the lockdown and what we've had to deal with, and people having that time to really reflect on what it means to them to work and where their values lie, that for me has been really interesting to see. But also I've really encouraged people, if they have decided that what they were doing wasn't for them, but I never felt like quitting myself. I think the big thing for me was knowing that I had a lot more pressure on my shoulders with Steve and Dom leaving the business, leaving such big holes in our lives, and feeling like, are people going to want to stay with a business with me at the helm? Is it going to be enough for people? But the actual pandemic part, I didn't feel like quitting. I just felt pressure to make sure that I could succeed and make sure 130 people were getting paid every month. And on reflection, that's one of the things I'm most proud of. I've managed to keep 137 people in jobs with getting them paid every month so they can pay their rent, they can pay their mortgage, they can look after their kids. That's an incredible feeling. So I'm very proud of that for myself and the rest of the team. It's just absolutely bonkers, isn't it? Thinking about what I've got out of it now, looking at the way that my personal life and my business life's changed, what I've navigated around and what I'm definitely going to take out of it is working and living in a way that I want to work and not feeling pressured into doing things if I just don't feel like I want to. I'm a massive people pleaser, so 9 times out of 10 I'll always say yes to things. And what I'm now cultivating at Social Chain is how we navigate this flexible working, true flexible working, in working the way that fits best for you. I always say it. I always say I don't really care where people are as long as the work gets done and the work gets done to a good standard. But I think now having a real reason for why the office is there, what the purpose of the office is, how we then create it as a creative space for collaboration and making sure it's fit for that purpose, whilst also giving people the freedom to be able to go home and work from home and get their head down if that's the way they're going to work best at the same time. I'm really excited about building this as a culture at Social Chain and moving things forward. I'm feeling quite positive about that. I'm really excited about building the next phase of what Social Chain looks like and how we operate as a business. So from a business point of view, I'm really excited. And a personal life thing, one of the things I'm going to talk about to Karen now is like what happens when you see people, because I've started going, when I go into the office and I've seen people in real life, I found it really bizarre. So how do you manage that? So I'm hoping Karen can give us a few tips on that. The positives that I've seen as a business in the last year are definitely how much care goes into what we do and how much care people that are at Social Chain have got for the work and for their clients, and making sure that the best work possible comes is the outcome. So I'm very proud of what's happened. So one of the things I've been asked to think about here is, what do I think is the biggest challenge I've faced personally and as a business? I think it both ties into one is just listening to myself and my mind and my body. And I don't think I've done that very well, which is now why I've had a migraine at the weekend. And I think I need to make sure that when things open up, myself and the other leaders in the business take time to really reflect and have a bit of respite. Because it has been all systems go, and it's now going to be really weird on how to be calm. It sounds really strange. And my summary for the last year is, it's been a roller coaster. There's some incredible highs in learning what I want out of my life and the way that I feel best working and taking some of that pressure off myself that never really needed to be there. And some real lows in knowing that I don't want to be on my own all the time, and seeing people and seeing my friends and how important those relationships are in my life. And also the pressure of being a leader of a business, trying to manage all that has been tricky, but we're getting there. We're definitely getting there. Just moving on to the future, I'm a different person to 12 months ago. I know a lot more of what I want from my life, and I know a lot more of how I can get it. The skills that I've developed over the last 12 months are definitely resilience. And I've not worried about the little things so much because we've had such big things to worry about, which sounds bonkers, but I was such a worrier before. And I think that I've learned that everything's okay. Everything will be okay. Everything always works out for the best because we've got through something so difficult that worrying about the smallest things in life aren't going to help me. I'm just mega excited about the future. I've got, like, my friendships are incredibly strong. My relationship is going from strength to strength, and I think us holding back, as I said, is going to be a blessing for us. I am nervous about going back to normal life. The thought of being stood at a bar with loads of people, it fills me with dread. It's brought out the inner diva in me, this, where I just want to sit at table service and get served. And I'm hoping that it'll be like that for a while. And it's something that I am going to talk to Karen about now, about how to deal with it, because I think she can offer some really good advice to help me through this little bit of anxiety that I'm feeling about going back to normal. And when I say normal, I don't mean normal. And I hate the term new normal, but I think it's like, what do we want our future lives to be like? And as I say, going through this roller coaster of understanding where I've got real joy out of my life and where now I want to make changes has helped me. And I'll be taking those into my future self with both my personal life and also for social change. Welcome back, Karen. Thank you so much again for coming on. I get so much value just from speaking to you for these like short 5-10 minutes in each episode, because it's been such a strange year in terms of relationships, how you feel about yourself, how you've dealt with it. Why do you think that people are worried about change and what we might be going into again with things starting to go back to how they were before COVID? Why do you think people are worried about that?
You know, naturally, we tend to sense a little danger surrounding uncertainty. And that's just the way we're wired, to be honest with you, which is a bit of a problem in itself, because not being able to anticipate an outcome of something could lead us to feel under threat. And then we might fill in the blanks with our thinking brain and imagine all of the things that could go wrong. But it is just completely understandable, given what we've been through. You know, now we've got light at the end of the tunnel. It could be strange feeling that we have to adapt back again, and things that feel like second nature, such as going to work or seeing friends and family or going to the shops, it might take a while to get used to. And that's because we have been on a roller coaster of a ride trying to navigate many changing roles, fears, losses, and a massive responsibility to do our best to protect our life and the lives of others, which is, you know, huge, huge pressure. We've been existing in an abnormal threat-based state, starved of human connection and our usual coping strategies. So we've not been living, but we've been surviving, if we think about it in those terms. And due to the prolonged stress and hypervigilance, it could be reasonable to assume that this would have varying implications for our mental health. So, and that's even when lockdown is over and we might assume things could be okay or they should be okay, we might still struggle with what we've been through. So it wouldn't be uncommon to experience things like anxiety, low mood or depression. And because life is now opening again, we may feel an expectation to adjust just as quickly as we did when we went into lockdown. So the experience of each person and the impact will be different, but some people might be raring to go while others are feeling challenged or overwhelmed. And I guess there's no wrong way to do this, but you and you alone knows what feels right for you. And You know, your friend might be excited about it, but it doesn't mean that your feelings are wrong if you're feeling anxious.
I think I feel like that. I think I'm ready for things to change. But also now, when I've seen people in real life, it's been really strange. And it's been like this weird, not anxiety. Well, I guess it is a bit of anxiety in being in someone's company. What advice would you give, well, to me, but to anyone else listening that might be struggling with thoughts of things going back to normal?
The fact that we feel anxious for the things that we took for granted is very telling of what we've been through and the magnitude, whether we realise it or not. So we barely had any notice of the drastic changes ahead of us when we went into lockdown. But you are capable of managing, you know, you've managed so far and you will manage again. So what you could do is use the planned stages of easing lockdown to your advantage, just as a gauge, essentially, to what feels right for you. So it's you who can decide what pace feels comfortable to you. So if something is feeling too overwhelming, then adjust it accordingly. So, you know, for example, if we've got the loosening of the regulations where we can meet six people, what you could do is just do a trial run with one person rather than going straight to meeting six people. An approach that anybody could use for this, which lends itself quite well to the situation, is a CBT approach. Which would involve, you know, basically creating a list of situations or activities and rating each one from 1 to 10 in terms of how difficult it feels, and then put them in order to build your confidence at a manageable pace. So you basically begin with the least threatening activity and gradually work your way up through the list. So always remembering that feeling nervous is human, but if it is too overwhelming, then the compassionate thing to do is to go back a step or to find a way to make it feel easier. In order to make things feel more manageable, you could research mindfulness techniques, relaxation techniques, breathing or grounding techniques, and they could help things feel calmer or more grounded, as well as talking to friends, family, or your employer about any difficulties. And of course, seeking professional help if you feel like you need extra support.
We touched on it a little bit before we started recording, and I think it links into that because you mentioned friendships and relationships. Things have changed, and I feel like my relationships with people has changed over lockdown, and the way that we've talked to each other or the different ways that we've approached lockdown has differed, meaning that sometimes it can have been a bit fraught rather than that support system that you're used to. What advice would you give there?
Really important point to mention there, because lockdown has been a very divisive experience with differing opinions on how things should or shouldn't be done. There's been a sense of blaming sometimes, pointing the finger or negatively judging others for their opinions if they differ to our own, or for their decisions, doing or not doing. So it doesn't help us with social cohesion. And just remembering that humans are not perfect. Every person is different and everyone has their own story. And each person has, you know, had to try and manage an extremely difficult year. And nobody knows truly what another person's experience is or what they've gone through. So if we were to just recognize our common humanity and the magnitude of change and struggle this pandemic has brought, just stepping back from judgment and stepping into compassion for our individual and shared experience.
What do you think of boundaries? So when we're going into this, what do you think about setting boundaries? Do you think people should be setting boundaries with others if we don't feel comfortable? I know you mentioned about doing it slowly and maybe doing it a step at a time. Do you think that people should be considering setting themselves rules or boundaries to help them?
Yes, I'm a big fan of boundaries, and they're there to protect us, really. Sometimes it can be quite difficult to set boundaries for ourselves. And, you know, we may be more inclined to people please, for example, or we might be thinking, okay, lockdown is ending, so I might be getting fear of missing out because everyone else is going to be meeting up, and maybe I'll just throw myself into a situation because I feel like I should be doing it rather than I need to be doing it. So it's checking in always with what feels comfortable to you, and setting boundaries is self-care, and it's just respect for ourselves. And it also shows us how we expect to be treated by others. So it's really healthy, and nobody would, you know, blame you for taking care of yourself or respecting yourself. So, you know, thinking about what does feel comfortable, and then just expressing it. You know, might feel awkward or guilty by saying, look, I'm not comfortable doing this yet, but just know that just because it feels difficult, it doesn't mean it's wrong.
Great. Well, I think I'm going to use boundaries as our next full episode, so I think we explore a little bit more on that, because it's definitely considered in some ways a negative thing if you're putting rules around your life to others. So I think if we explore that in our next episode together, I think that would be great. Thank you so much, Karen, as always, for some brilliant tips there and some really useful things to help everyone get through the next few weeks and months as we ease ourselves back into some sort of normality. But we'll see you again in a couple of weeks, Karen. Thank you.
Great. See you then.
I've really enjoyed this episode, and just taking the time to look back on just how far we've all come in the past 12 months. It's definitely been a time to be more reflective and think about our own happiness and also everything that we've achieved in such extraordinary circumstances. It was so good and lovely to hear some wise words from Karen. As always, as we start looking to the future, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Know that you are not alone, and I look forward to speaking to you all next week.